we are the congregation of Yaakov, Bincha Bechedecha, your oldest child. From the love that you loved. Because Hashem responds to us. God is interactive. When we love Hashem, Hashem loves us. It's a relationship. It's not a mechanical event. When you do a mitzvah and you do it joyfully and with a smile and with joy and your heart is bursting with pride and Hashem responds, you feel Hashem's love for you. You're doing everything that's right. You're doing everything that He's asking. So you feel that love. When you go beyond the letter of the law, then Hashem rejoices beyond this love. Hashem is rejoicing because Hashem is interactive. If you just do what you have to do, it's fine. It's loving, it's nice. But when you go beyond the letter of the law, Hashem is rejoicing. And these are the names Yisrael and Yeshurun. Yaakov was given a name. He was still called Yaakov. Even after Hashem called him Yisrael, he's still called Yaakov throughout the Tanakh. Unlike Avraham. Avraham, once his name was changed from Avraham to Avraham, he was never ever called Avraham. So you don't call Avraham. You're not allowed to call Avraham today. You have to call him Avraham. His name was changed. There's no going back. But Yaakov, even when Hashem changed his name and says, from now on, you're not going to be called Yaakov, you're going to be called Yisrael, we find that Hashem himself called him Yaakov. The Torah calls him Yaakov. Because Yaakov and Yisrael represent two different levels. Yaakov represents, he was called Yaakov because he grabbed the heel of Esav. When he came out of the mother's womb, of Rivka's womb, he came second, he was grabbing on to his heel. Yaakov comes from the word in Hebrew, Ekev, the heel of the foot. Yisrael comes from the word, Yisrael has an Roish, you're a head, you're a prince. You triumphed over people, over angels even. You're a king, you're a prince, you're Yisrael. You're on top, you're the Roish, not in the bottom. Yaakov also comes from the word, like to be sneaky. Yaakoveni zepamoyim. Esav complained that Yaakov tricked me twice. First he tricked me to sell the birthright at the bar mitzvah, their bar mitzvah, and then when Avram passed away that day, and then he tricked me with the blessings, he got the blessings, he disguised himself. So Yaakov comes from the word trickery. Yisrael is no trickery, he's open. I'm triumphant, I don't need any trickery. What does it mean? What does it mean Yaakov is a trickster? Yaakov was so honest. Yaakov's signature was emes. He was genuine, authentic. So Yaakov suddenly such a trickster, but the truth is, yes, we find the first Hollywood production was by a Jew. And it was a blockbuster. Yaakov pretended to be Esav. He got dressed up and he acted out as if he was Esav. And it was a blockbuster. He won the Oscar. He got the prize, the ultimate prize, the blessing of Yaakov, Yitzchak, the ultimate blessing, most powerful blessing in the Torah, Yitn Lecha Elokim. And he's our role model. We are called the children of Yaakov. We're called the Israelites. So what does it mean? We're not called Abrahamites or Isaacites. Because in a sense, we're all acting. We're all tricksters. Because if you look at a Jew superficially, you don't see the difference in the Jew and a non-Jew and the other 8 billion people in this world. They eat and we eat. They do business, we do business. They spend most of their adult life with their careers. A Jew spends most of his adult life with his career, earning a living 6 days a week, most of your adult life. What's the difference? It seems to be that we're both externally, we're wearing the garb of Esav. You don't see a difference. But like a real trickster, the difference is what's in the inside. It appears to be we're going on the same road, but we have something else entirely in mind. We have a different goal here, a different point, a different theme. So we're walking in the same path, and all of a sudden, we disappear somewhere. A Jew eats. First, he makes a blessing. He's injecting an awareness of Hashem. I'm eating, I'm doing business, I'm pursuing my career, because I have to be godly, I have to be a provider, I have to take care of my loved ones. Hashem creates us and sustains us, and He made me responsible to take care of my loved ones. So I become a creator and a sustainer. I become an extension of Hashem. So I'm doing something divine and godly. I eat and I'm doing business, I should have the strength to be able to serve Hashem. I should have the money. It's not cheap to be Jewish. You have to have money to be able to give your children a Jewish education and to be able to eat a kosher life. And to buy matzahs is not cheap, and to do mitzvahs. So there's a purpose, there's an intent. Yes, externally, superficially, you can't see the difference. You're doing business. But your whole intent is completely, entirely different. It's not visible on the surface. It's on the inside. Your purpose is entirely different. You have a different purpose. You're thinking about Hashem. You have a divine purpose. You have a godly purpose. I'm making a blessing. I'm thinking about Hashem. I'm drinking a cup of water. I'm thinking about Hashem. Baruch atah Hashem. I'm eating. Baruch atah Hashem. Everything I'm doing is a godly purpose. So externally, it looks the same, but internally, it's a whole different story. So it's like a trick. We're being tricksters. It appears to be we're like everyone else. We're engaged in the mundane, in the material, the majority of our life, and yet nothing could be further than the truth. For us, it's not about being engaged in the mundane. It's just a means to an end in order to serve Hashem. So that's Yaakov. That's the 6 days of the week. But then you have Shabbos. Shabbos, we're on the level of Yisrael. Shabbos, we take off the garb. There's no delusions anymore. Shabbos, we have nothing to do with the external world. Every Jew dresses up in his finest. Our table is a royal table. We're calm, we're serene, we don't think about, we're totally relaxed. All our work is done. We're not even thinking about business. It's the furthest thing from our mind. We're fully engaged in Shabbos, in the holiness of Shabbos, and extra davening and learning and our families and celebrating. And Shabbos, the meal itself is a mitzvah. It's not that I'm eating a regular meal, but the goal, the intent is something divine, godly. Shabbos table is divine, is godly. It's a mitzvah. Everything is openly revealed. Shabbos, the mask is off. There's no masks. Shabbos, you're like a head, you're like a prince. You don't have to pretend, you don't have to act anything out. Shabbos, everything is revealed, everything is open. Rosh, everything is open. So we have both names. Yaakov is during the week. And Yisrael, for every Jew, is on Shabbos. Of course, for the tzaddik, for him, every day is Shabbos. He's a whole week like Shabbos. His whole life is, everything is open and everything is revealed and everything is godly. But for the rest of us, it's a struggle. So we have to struggle with Esav and we have to smuggle in the godliness. Externally, you can't tell the difference. So that's the level of Yaakov and the level of Yisrael. And then you have the highest name is Yeshurun. Yeshurun comes from the word shir, a song, which in the language of the Mishnah, shir is actually, it's like around the necklace, something shir, or it could be an armband, a shir, something you put around the animal to be able to control the animal, to protect the animal, so you put a shir on around the animal, and so you can pull the animal, you can control the animal. Protect the animal. And this is discussed in the Mishnah. They're allowed to go out on Shabbos. Is it considered carrying? If it's for the animal, then it's not considered carrying. It's for the protection of the animal, or for the sake of the animal, so then it's not considered carrying. So shir is like a round necklace, because a song is also like a shir. A song is like, a round is infinite. The infinite, the round represents the infinite. There's no beginning, there's no middle, there's no end. A true song, in a way, is like infinite. You sing the song and then the end leads back to the beginning. You can sing it again and again and again and again, and you just get more into it. It doesn't grow old. You, each time you relive it, you're experiencing it. It just goes on and on and on. It's new, it's fresh. It's something that's beyond words, even. A true song is even beyond words. I can't capture it in words. It's raw emotions that are really beyond words, because it represents, you're tapping into something that's infinite. And then shir, like a straight line, yashar. On that level, all Jews are the same. When you reach a level, when you realize that there's no hierarchy, despite the fact that you have some Jews who are like the heads of the Jewish people, and some Jews are the heart of the Jewish people, and some Jews are the legs and the toenails of the Jewish people. But the reality is that we're all one. We're all like a circle. There's no beginning, there's no middle, there's no end. Every Jew needs the other Jew. Every Jew complements the other Jew. Every Jew brings something unique to the Jewish people, to the Jewish experience. And therefore, we're all one. We're all part of something larger than all of us put together. We're part of Klal Yisrael. So there's a genuine unity. So this is like the highest level. So Yaakov, Yisrael, and Yeshur. And that's where Hashem rejoices. When Hashem sees this incredible unity amongst the Jewish people, that we're all part of something larger than all of us put together, and we feel that we're all one, and we're all on the same line, and we're all together, that gives Hashem tremendous joy. So therefore, lefichach, therefore, since we are the nation, your nation, the chosen people, that you made a covenant with us, and we are the descendants, the children, the biological children of Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Yisrael, and Yeshurun. So therefore, anachnu, chayavim, we're obligated, lehoides lecha, to thank you, uleshabechacha, praise you, ulefa'ercha, and to glorify you, ulevarech, and to bless you, ulekadesh, and to sanctify you, v'litein, and to offer shevach, v'haidoya, praise and thanksgiving, l'shmecha, to your name. Seven different expressions, corresponding to the seven expressions we learned last time. We started out the prayer, which is from basically Tana Develiyo. So he says, Ma'onu, what is our life? Machayena, also seven. What is our kindness? What is our righteousness? What is our strength? It's all nothing. Because as Shlomo HaMelech says, seven times the whole world is hevel, the whole world is nothing. So seven expressions, how it's all nothing. Even the good that we do is really all nothing and meaningless and insignificant. So corresponding to that, he says, it's true. However, but since we are the Jewish people, and we are your nation, and we are the nation of your covenant, and we are the children of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who were chariot to Hashem, who were godly, and we inherited that godliness, therefore, we are obligated to praise Hashem, to thank Hashem, and to praise Hashem, and to glorify Hashem, and to bless Hashem, and to sanctify Hashem, and to offer praise and thanksgiving to your name. Not only we could, but we're obligated. And then we say, Ashreinu matev chalkeinu, fortunate are we. How good is our portion? Umanoyim gaydaleinu, how pleasant is our lot. Umayofa yerushaseinu, how beautiful our heritage. We are billionaires. Every Jew born to a Jewish mother, or someone who converts halachically, we are billionaires. We inherited the ultimate wealth, the ultimate richness. We inherited this faith in Hashem. We inherited this knowledge that Hashem has come to live with us, within us. When we open our hearts and open our minds and open our consciousness to the truth and the reality, that there is no other reality but Hashem, besides Hashem. And we are as inherently, essentially, like we just stated, in a state of non-existence and non-being. All that exists really, all that is really Hashem. And we are all part of Hashem. There's nothing else besides Hashem. When we open our minds and open our hearts to that truth, then Hashem moved in with us. Could you imagine? Permanently. Not Hashem is visiting. Hashem has moved in with us. Hashem is living with us. That truth, that reality, that's the greatest gift, that's the greatest inheritance we can have. To know that nothing exists besides Hashem, that we are absolutely unified within the absolute unity of Hashem. We're not outside of Hashem. All there is Hashem. We have that faith. We inherited that faith from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And it's a living faith for us, and it's a living reality. So we cry out, we say, thank you, Hashem, Ashreinu, how fortunate are we for this inheritance, for our lot, for our girdle. We hit the jackpot. You won the lottery. You won the billion-dollar lottery. Our inheritance. We inherited billions. We're the richest people on earth. That inner richness, living with that truth, that all there is Hashem, there's no other reality with Hashem, and we are within Hashem, and Hashem is living with us permanently. Imagine the King of Kings moved into your house. How would you feel? King of Kings moved into your house and is moving in and is living with you 24/7. What more could you ask for? So every Jew is filled with pride. You know, during these days, people are remembering the Holocaust, and it's a beautiful story. You know, we have the pictures where they're torturing the Jews, the Nazis, Yimach Shemam, pulling their hair out of their beards. And this group of Nazis were you know, pulling the hair out of his Jew's beard, and then they threw him to the ground and started dancing on him, so cruelly torturing him. And the Jew cried out, "Ashreinu matov chelkeinu. How fortunate I am that I am a Jew. I'm so proud that I'm a Jew. Thank God that I'm a Jewish." The Nazis stopped. He said, "Oh, are you kidding? Look at you. We're torturing you. We're stomping you. We're dancing all over you. You're on the ground. You're bleeding. You're wounded. We are on top of the world. Now you say, thank you, God, for making me Jewish. Thank you for making me part of your chosen people." And the Jew smiled. He says, "Now more than ever, I see the difference between you and us. You look human, but you're barbarians. You're the worst animals in the world aren't as cruel and as evil as you are. Look at the Jewish people in comparison. You make the worst Jew in the world look like a saint by comparison. Look at your life and your lifestyle and your values, and look at us. The kindness, the goodness, the godliness, the egolessness. Now more than ever, I'm grateful and I'm thankful to Hashem that He made me Jewish. Ashreinu matov chelkeinu." We cry out in the morning. It's the small Shema. We're not even fully, we just woke up basically. We're not even fully appreciative. Like a little child knows that my parents are very special. He's still a child, doesn't really understand why his parents are special. But he just knows it and he feels it and he cries out, "Oh, look how lucky I am, look how fortunate I am, I have such special parents." Even at this level, this stage, you just woke up in the morning, you barely just rubbed your eyes open. You're not fully aware yet or fully understanding. It's just a small Shema, but already we burst out. We know enough to burst out and to say, "Thank you, Hashem. Ashreinu matov chelkeinu. Thank you for making me Jewish." And therefore, we jump up early in the morning, shanu mashkimim u'madivim, and in the evening, erev avoike v'emnim pamayim. We say twice every day the Shema Yisrael. So Hasidus explains why do we say three expressions: matov chelkeinu, how good is our portion, how sweet is our lot, and how beautiful our heritage. So Hasidus says, we find similarly in the Torah, in the learning of Torah, on one hand it says that you have to buy the Torah. You have to purchase the Torah. On the other hand, we find Matan Torah, it's a gift. Hashem gives us a gift. The Torah is a gift. Not something you buy, it's a gift. Present. On the other hand, the very first thing we teach a child when he starts speaking is Torah Tziva Lanu Moshe Meirasha Kilus Yaakov. The Torah is an inheritance. And all three are correct. A portion means something that you have to earn. You have to pay a price. You have to buy. You have to appreciate the value. And you have to pay up. Torah is something that you have to invest in. You have to sacrifice, you have to give your time, you have to value it, you have to pay the price, you have to put in the hours, and you have to commit yourself. You have to appreciate the value of the Torah and invest in it. So anything worthwhile, you have to invest. You have to pay a price. Then you have, the Torah is a gift. A gift is not something you earn. A gift is not something you can demand. A gift comes from the one who's giving you the gift entirely. Yes, he has to want to give you a gift. Like a bonus. You can't demand a bonus. It's not a salary. Salary is something you can demand. You work for it. And it's coming to you. A bonus, the owner is so pleased. You went beyond the letter of the law. You went out of your way. So the owner is giving you a bonus, a gift. But ultimately, you can't demand it. It's a gift. So there is the way Hashem responds to us. You know, if we, however much we open up ourselves to Hashem, Hashem responds. We love Hashem. Hashem loves us. Whatever we put in, no deposit, no return. Whatever we put in, it evokes a response. So we buy it. In a way, it's like you're buying it. You paid it. You paid for it. You earned it. You deserve it. But then there's a level that's beyond. Hashem gives us a level that's beyond our effort. It's you can't even compare. It's not commensurate to our effort. Hashem gives us a gift. Hashem is so pleased with us. He gives us a gift. He opens up insights into the Torah that you would never, ever... In a million years, you would never figure it out. It's a gift from Hashem. Hashem just gives you a gift. Way beyond your capacity and way beyond what the level you've earned and deserved. But the ultimate level is the Yerusha, it's inheritance. A baby who's 1 minute old inherits everything from his parents. His father's a billionaire, he inherits all of it. He's just a day old, doesn't know anything. He inherits everything. It's all his, 100%. Why? Because the child is the parent. You are your parent. Yes, we're separate and apart. When your finger hurts, your parent doesn't feel that pain. If you cut your finger, it's not like your parent yells. Yeah, they empathize with you. But nevertheless, the reality is that you are nothing other than your parent. The parent gives their essence to into their children. The sperm is the essence of the parent. They give their essence into the child. And that's why automatically the child inherits the parent, everything. And we say a Jew's connection to Torah, Torah tziva lanu moshe mirasha. Every Jew inherits the whole entire Torah, from the simplest level all the way to the deepest mystical, deepest levels of the Torah, inherently belongs to each and every Jew 1,000%. There's no distinction, no difference. The child is greater, smaller, is a baby, he's righteous, he's a saint, he's a mystic, he's a simple Jew, it doesn't matter. A baby is 1 day old, a minute old, inherits everything. He's a billionaire because you are your parent. So it represents that because a Jew is so one with Hashem, because literally we have a piece of the divine essence located at the very core and center of our being, therefore we inherit everything. We inherited this relationship with Hashem, this connection to Hashem, this faith, this deep abiding faith in the truth of Hashem Echad. And therefore, now we're going to say, we're going to express, and we'll learn next week, the Shema Yisrael, which expresses, this is all an introduction, this is the inheritance, this is what we inherited, this is our faith, this is the ultimate expression of Jewish faith. This captures the essence of what a Jew is all about, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad.